Joy of Leadership listeners. Hey, this is a special episode today where I have the privilege of introducing our salutatorian and our valedictorian. So our salutatorian is Marco Perez and our valedictorian is Katie Beth Mock. And so, hey, we are super excited to meet these Hebron kids who have been working hard, and we're looking forward to this episode today. Welcome to the Joy of Leadership podcast. I'm your host, Dr. James Taylor. On this podcast, we explore the passion and purpose of leadership. Join us to explore lessons in leadership that demonstrate how you can live in the center of God's will. Okay, it is great for us to be able to jump in with Katie Beth Mock, valedictorian of Hebron Christian Academy.
I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so hey, so let's start kind of with what comes next. So tell us a little bit about how long you've been here and what are the next plans in life.
Okay, so I came to Hebron in the sixth grade, so okay. 7 years.
Okay.
7 great years.
All of your upper school.
Yes, all great. Of upper school. And next for me is UGA. I'm super excited about that. So kind of praying through a major and everything with that, but thinking it's hopefully going to get a little bit clearer this summer before orientation and be able to pick some classes that'll kind of guide me in the right direction too.
Okay. What are the majors you're thinking through? What are you thinking about?
Yeah. So for a while I thought like business and marketing, that's kind of what I applied as.
Okay.
And my mind's very like wired that way. Like I'm creative, but I'm also very like business, numbers, all of those things. But I also love people, and definitely this year I've spent a lot of time at Lions Learning Academy. I'm sure we'll probably maybe touch on that later. But that's been very special to me, and kind of learning a little bit more about, you know, how much I enjoy, you know, that time with kids. And so looking into different majors like occupational therapy or speech pathology, some different things like that. Or maybe even time business too, one of those things. We'll see. We're just praying through it and trying to kind of figure it out.
Cool. Now, you have been exceptionally busy in your time here at HCA. Just so the audience has kind of an idea, again, coming here in sixth grade, this year's valedictorian, you were also named an AP Scholar with Distinction and a Georgia Certificate of Merit recipient for the class of 2025. As far as things you've been involved in, National Honor Society, Mu Alpha Theta, serves as Student Council Vice President and is a Lion Pal, which we will get into, over at our brand new Lions Learning Academy. And then in addition to that, you've been on the Student Life Committee, the Varsity Sideline and Competition Cheer Teams, and you've served as a middle school girls small group leader at 12 Stone. And so you've had a busy path already.
This is true.
All right, so if you're looking back at your 7 years at HCA, what would be the most important experiences for you? Like are there particular kind of life-shaping experiences that you look back and say, man, that helped shape me as a young woman. That helped shape me as a young leader.
Yes. I mean, there's a couple different things. I kind of lean more spiritual routes on that. So for sure, I've been to Honduras twice with the school. You know this.
Yeah.
So we got to go together this year, but those trips have been very special. And I think it's different. Like I've been on other international mission trips, but it's very special getting to go in a school setting, seeing, you know, your school leaders, your teachers, like pouring into people, praying, you're all worshiping together every night, serving right alongside each other. Like in a way you're just equally like just servants of God. You know, there's no like turn in your assignment. No, it's how can I pray for you? How can I help you do this? And like, let's serve together. Let's clean the dishes together. And so I think that was really special, just kind of to really bond me with a lot of those teachers and just see a lot of the staff in a different way and be able to kind of come to them more in a spiritual sense than just, you know, academics and teachers. And also, it's just so special to go, you know, out of the country and just that perspective shift. It really changes the way I see a lot of things.
Had you been out of the country before?
So my first mission trip, I was in, I think going into fifth grade, my family
That's
went
early.
To Brazil.
Oh, you went with your family though.
Yes. Okay. So it was the four of us, my cousins, aunt and uncle, grandparents. So it's like all 10 of us went with my cousin's church, and we went to Brazil. We spent a week there, and that was so cool because I was like the same age as the kids. So special. Just like got to play, you know, you don't think about it too much, but looking back, I realized like how special that experience was, how life-changing that was. Cause at that time I didn't even really, you know, take the time to really take it all in and understand the scope of it all, you know.
Let's just take Honduras just because those are the most recent. What were some of the biggest lessons? Like what were some of the things that you were learning by being there about yourself or maybe just about life in general?
Yeah, so I think the simple joy was like so powerful. I think we get so caught up in, you know, I need to have this thing and that thing and all these, you know, whatever Instagram's telling us we need to have, whatever the world, you know, worldly things, and think that that's where the joy comes from. And we can get so stuck in that. And they have so little, but so much more joy than we ever have.
I hear that almost every time when I'm taking kids into particularly third world countries where there's a lack of materialism because there's a lack of money. And yet there's a higher level of contentment and joy than many of the kids who are pretty well off, who are coming down to see them.
Right. And I think that's really beautiful, just seeing how they find this joy in Jesus. And, you know, they're writing you these notes as you leave, praying for you, praying for your family. Like, it's just like a deep rooted joy. And that's just so beautiful to see, and that reliance on Jesus. And I think I had to kind of step into some of that too. The last time we went, I was actually kind of debriefing this with my small group leader not too long ago, but just how there's a lot of kind of spiritual warfare, because I got asked to preach on Sunday and I started getting really anxious, which is not really normal for like going out of the country. That's not something that typically scares me. But before the trip, I was freaking out. My mom packed her passport instead of mine. This is a funny story.
I remember.
So my dad's driving down at 4 a.m. to Atlanta Airport, trying to bring me my passport, make
maybe
it on the flight.
Exceeding the speed limit a little bit,
just
I think.
A little bit. Yeah, you know, on Life 360, he was a rocket. So not a car, a rocket. So he made it in time. Like, all of those things started piling up. I got sick. It was just, there was so much going on. And I had to stop and take a step back and be like, you know what? Like, this is, if we're honest, this is spiritual warfare, you know? And so being able to rely on Jesus and be like praying through all of that, understanding what that was, and just recognizing that on the other side of that is so much that, you know, the enemy doesn't want to happen. And so recognizing, you know, the impact that we can have over there is so beautiful, and getting to push myself out of my comfort zone and talk in the church with a translator, like, that was really cool and grew me in so many ways.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience at Lions Learning Academy this year.
Yes.
I think the audience sometimes hears from me all the time. Why don't you kind of explain what Lions Learn Academy is, and then what the involvement has been with Lion Pals?
Yeah, so, it's the most special place I've ever been. So they serve, you know, children with special needs and kind of more severe special needs too. So you're seeing all different types of intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, all those different things. And they're catering to them through all of their therapies throughout the day. So you have your speech pathologist, your occupational therapist, physical therapist, all of that, which has been so cool to see, which is kind of, like I said, maybe making me reconsider some things. The teachers are just able to love on the students in such a beautiful way. That there's no place like it. There truly isn't, you know? And so as a Lion Pal, we've been able to kind of step in and just see all of that firsthand, but also learning ways to help. We did a little bit of training with Bridged. And so they kind of taught us some different things about how to be a disability inclusive leader. And that was kind of really cool, really rocked my world on how can you, you know, go into your next phase of life too and carry, no matter what career you pick, you don't have to pick to be a special needs teacher.
Right.
But bringing that in, and how can I, you know, have people in my staff or in my business that have these disabilities? How can I cater to what they're super good at? Because they all have these talents and gifts. And so looking at that, and then just being able to love on the kids, it's been really special to bond with them, play with them at recess, eat lunch with them. I've gotten syrup in my hair, ketchup on my shirt, like all you can think of, but it's the best.
How have you seen those kids grow and change this year? You've been there for a whole year.
Yes.
Watching and being involved in their lives. How have you seen them change?
I mean, we have kids who, we have a certain student comes to mind. He was pre-verbal. A lot of places would call that non-verbal, but we say pre-verbal because, you know, we believe in miracles. We believe that there's so much more than just non. And so he is counting to 100. Like, that's a miracle. You know, that's not even just growth. That is straight miracles, and that's life-changing. And so just seeing stuff like that has been so special to, like, see it firsthand. Like, I remember when you wanted to say hi, and now you're, I'm walking in, you're saying hi to me. And one of our students learned she's really, really good at sign language, and she wasn't really connecting to a device to speak through that, but she's super good at sign language. And now she signed a prayer in front of the whole school at All School Chapel. Like, that is just so beautiful to see firsthand, you know, day in and day out, like all that took of the teachers pouring in, all the prayers that was answered is just really special.
We're talking about kind of how we've watched those kids change. Mm-hmm. How have you seen those kids? It's just a small group of kids, but how have you seen those kids also change our school as a whole? Have you seen anything like that?
I think it's been so special. All School Chapel kind of comes to mind with that, mm-hmm. that, you know, bringing them over. And so some of the line pals are sitting back there with them. And then I think Brandon was the first one to do it. He's in one of the line pals. He grabbed some of his friends and he was like, come on, Carrington, come on, Noah, like y'all come sit back here too. Like meet my friends, you know, like, so bringing everyone in and, you know, getting them to kind of see firsthand, like these kids, they're just kids. Mm-hmm. And like, they have so much love to give. They have so much joy to give. And it's really special seeing our school just love on them and learning just more how much love they have to give and how much it just explodes your heart too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does faith play out in your life? If you were to say like the areas of faith where you're most passionate or the way that faith plays out in the most real way in your life, mm-hmm. how does that happen for you?
So I think I'm the youngest in my family. I have an older brother, but I always kind of wanted like little sisters. And so when I was in, I guess it was my sophomore year, I started leading a group of girls. They were in sixth grade. Now they're in eighth grade. So like all my little mini little sisters, and I led them through our church at 12 Stone. And that has been something I'm really passionate about is like younger kids. Cause I always wanted, you know, the little siblings, and I've seen how, you know, my older brother or just some older figures in my life had kind of like poured into me and shaped me. And so I think that's been a big thing in my faith that I've kind of really wanted to respond through, you know, giving back in that way of leading others and picking up people and putting them under my wings. And I'm going to give you advice. We're going to go to Starbucks and talk and read our Bible, you know, so that's been really cool.
Well, let's stay on that idea. If you were going to give advice to younger students coming up through their high school career, you know, maybe freshmen, but freshmen, sophomore, junior, I'm good with any of them, but particularly freshmen as they're kind of beginning a new chapter, what would be some of the biggest advice elements that you'd pass on?
I think you have to learn how to prioritize things, okay. And you've got to kind of get that set in stone. Like, you know, going to church on Wednesday nights, if that's something you want to do, you got to go ahead and mark your calendar, you know, and then, you know, get your agenda. And what I would have to do if I wanted to make that a priority, I mean, it's busy. You have so much homework. If you're playing a sport, if, you know, you're involved in the clubs, doing the activities, planning the things, it gets overwhelming. So I stayed very on top of my agenda. I was very OCD about that. But, you know, making sure if I want to do something this night, you know, if that's a lot of times it was Wednesday nights. Okay, how can I get ahead on homework for Wednesday or get ahead on homework, even starting out Monday, you know? So make sure your priorities are set and then you form your schedule around that. Okay. And I think that that's probably my best advice.
You have been pretty courageous in jumping into some new things, like, for instance, in Honduras, just being asked to preach and you jump in with a big old yes. How about that as far as advice about being courageous? Or do you have any advice on some kind of tidbits for being courageous in a scary world?
I think that the more you do it, the easier it gets. That's what I'd say. But I also think having people in your corner who are going to push you is so important. Like I think about my parents and there's a couple of really close friends that when I got asked to do that, I was one of my, like my best friend, I called her up and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And she was like, girl, you can do that. Like you're going to do it. You know, there's a reason you got asked to do this. And people who can see something in you that sometimes you don't see in yourself, I think that's really important to surround yourself with people who will push you. And then the more you say yes, I think it does get easier. You know, you start with something smaller, you know, maybe it's just praying over someone at church and you're like, okay, let me do it. And then the next time it's something bigger and you keep saying yes and he keeps providing and it gets easier.
Now you're heading off to UGA. UGA is a very hard school to get into.
Yes.
Nowadays. It's pretty nuts actually just how hard it is. Yes. But you're heading off to UGA. And so clearly you're prepared for that. How has Hebron best prepared you for the future?
I think Hebron's done a really good job academically. I mean, I have some friends at different schools and they're like, you're learning that? And I'm like, yeah, it's like in the curriculum. You're like, y'all didn't cover this. You didn't feel prepared for that AP exam. Like, I thought I did good, you know? So I think like academically, but also just like the teachers have given me so much just genuine advice. Think about Miss Lyon. We have a lot of good conversations. I actually have had her 5 times. So we joke it's good that we like each other.
Wow.
Yes. So I had her in sixth grade, freshman year, twice last year, 2 different classes, and I have her this year.
That's wild.
Yeah. So we've gotten very close and there's a couple other teachers like that where it's just become like, you know, practical advice too. And I think that the more you lean into the teachers, the more like you kind of get out of that. And that's been something I've really seen like at Hebron is the more I've leaned in, the more, you know, everyone's opened me with, you know, open arms, welcomed me in and given me their advice or been willing to have those different conversations that have really been impactful.
I hear that regularly from students who are jumping in brand new, where they're kind of floored by the idea that yeah. our students actually know the teachers. You know, I give out my personal cell phone all the time. Mm-hmm. Like kids are just floored by it. They cannot believe that we have that kind of relationship, right. But it is neat to be in a Christian school. You know, we're smaller in comparison to public schools, but mm-hmm. we're big in comparison to other Christian schools. And, it's kind of wild to have that. And you've really enjoyed that.
Right. I think, yes, I've leaned into it. It's been very special and it makes it feel even smaller. I mean, it already is small, but it really feels like a family. Like I've been emotional the last couple of days thinking about leaving a lot of the teachers too. Mm-hmm. You know, these people I've seen every day, like Dr. Gray, I've done her senior girls Bible study and she's welcomed us into her house. You know, that's mm-hmm. our principal and we're sitting in her house, like just talking about the word. And it's just a really beautiful picture of like the family of Christ in so many ways. And so I've really enjoyed that.
Are there other folks here that you wanted to give a shout out to, like other teachers who have made an investment? It's hard to start naming them.
No,
you've
like,
named two,
naming,
which are great.
If I start naming them, I'm going to forget somebody.
That's true. That is
Coach
true.
Lincoln does, he nurtures our destinies. He tells us that every day. So shout out, Coach Lincoln.
There we go. I like that. How about just the idea of living in an appreciative way? Tell me about the people who have built into your life the most. I happen to know your family really well. But tell me about the people who have invested.
So definitely my parents. They've been super great. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work that no one really sees to get to, you know, be valedictorian or be, you know, getting into Georgia, getting at different places like that, different things. Where I am right now is taking a lot of, you know, hard work that a lot of people don't see. And so they've been my biggest cheerleaders behind the scenes. I mean, I get a text from my mom every single morning and she tells me that she loves me. She's praying for me. And if I have a test, she's praying for my test. Or if I have something I'm a little bit nervous about or something going on with whatever, she tells me she's praying for it. And that is so special. And my dad, like, our brains are wired the same way. And so we'll just get into conversations about things and I might be stressed and he gets it like nobody else gets it.
Right.
And so he just has been a big encouragement to, you know, keep pursuing things and keep, you know, pushing myself. And so they've been huge. Also, I've had the same small group leader and student pastor for the past 7 years. Mm. So Jacob Bartlett has been with me since sixth grade and wow. Krista Childress has been with me since sixth grade. And so that's like unheard of to have the same leader and same mm-hmm. small student pastor that long. And they both have just poured into me like no other, just continuously, you know, the text or the checking in or, you know, if they know something is going on. I mean, I've had some, you know, over the past 7 years, there's been some, you know, different things I've struggled with and they've just walked with me through it. And that's been really, really special.
When you look at the next step heading off to UGA, are there certain things that you are fearful about, or maybe fearful is too strong a term, maybe nervous about? What are your thoughts?
I think just like it's just weird. You start thinking about, wait, so I'm going to be by myself. I got to get all my food myself. And, you know, just like you start thinking about the little things. You're like, that's kind of weird. You know, I'm a little bit nervous and just kind of anticipating finding a church because I don't really know where I'll land. There's a lot in Athens. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, I'm one of the people that I like to see the plan like all laid out. I don't like, you know, when you get a little puzzle piece at a time. So I would love to just know exactly where I'm going to end up, how everything's going to be looking next year, who are my friends going to be. So I think, you know, there's nerves with that for sure, but just kind of trying to let it be excitement and not too nervous.
That's one of the greatest skills you can learn is mm-hmm. honestly how to still respond with success, mm-hmm. Even when you don't know the next 30 steps.
Right.
But being willing to take the next step and, mm-hmm. and to say, okay, in the next one, I'm going to do everything that I can. And then after that, I'll take the next step. And that's really and truly one of the biggest skills you have to learn. Okay. Right. So the lack of schedule, you are a planner.
I am a planner.
I've heard about this before, and I've even watched like how you do Bible studies and devotionals. Yes, I've watched how detailed you are with that. So if that's something you're nervous or fearful about, how about the biggest thing that you're anticipating, the biggest thing you're excited about?
I'm excited to kind of branch out. Like in so many ways, it's nerve-wracking because I've just known Hebron for so long, but I'm excited to kind of step out and figure out what does it look like to do my thing too. Kind of one thing I had shared with, actually my small group leader, is that for so long in church, you know, a lot of times they talk about like, okay, who's the one person in your life that's near to you and far from God? And in so many ways, like, I mean, there are, you know, students in our school who, you know, might not be super close to God, but they've all heard it, mm-hmm. you know, they hear it in chapel. And so it's hard to kind of feel like there's someone I can pick and really just grab and pour into. And so I think that's going to be really special. I've never gotten to see that firsthand and, mm-hmm. you know, being able to kind of share that. I'm excited for those opportunities. I mean, that's nerve-wracking too, but mm-hmm. exciting.
Yeah. You finally get to have, rather than have a vicarious faith, you get to have a personal faith
yes.
that is going to
yes.
have to be lived out in a very real world. Mm-hmm. You know, gone will be the Hebron bubble.
This is true.
and you'll have to make your own decisions, yes. you know, in a very live world. Well, listen, Katie Beth, you're just a wonderful example of a Hebron Christian student. I'm super excited for all that God has planned yes. for you in your life to come. And it for me, I've been doing this for 3+ decades. And it is just awesome to be able to watch I love watching the 17 or 18 year old yeah. head out, but I love meeting the 30 year old later on and meeting your husband and meeting your kids. And yes. it's pretty awesome. I know God has huge plans for your life. And Katie Beth, thank you so much for jumping on the show today.
Of course. And go Dogs.
All right. Hey, I am excited to have our salutatorian for Hebron Christian Academy, Marco Perez. Marco, glad to have you on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited. A little nervous, but
you're all right, excited. Man. You're all right. Hey, so let's chat about kind of the end in mind first before we jump back into some of the other things. Tell us where you're heading next and what you're majoring in.
So as of now, I plan on going to Georgia Tech for industrial engineering there.
Okay. Which... Now you said as of now. Is that up in the air?
No, sir. You never know what could happen, but okay. No. 99.9% sure.
Okay, good. And now walk us through, just because, listen, there are a lot of people who will listen to this who aren't in your shoes, who haven't got to the spot in college, you know, going through the applications and everything. Walk us through a little bit of what that process was to get you to making the decision for Georgia Tech. First of all, congratulations, because
thank you.
That school is super hard to get into. So congratulations. But walk us through kind of what your thought process was. What other schools were you considering? Walk us through a little bit of that.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I didn't apply anywhere else. So
no kidding.
I would never recommend that to anybody.
That is so daring. Okay.
So basically early action, I was thinking Georgia Tech. Okay. And then I also was looking to tour like Auburn, Clemson, but that never really happened. So the plan was to apply there. And if I didn't get in early action, then apply to like, I think it was Kennesaw State, also like Georgia, Gwinnett, and places closer to my house. So that I could transfer in after if I didn't get into Georgia Tech.
Okay.
But thank God I got in early action.
Good
and
work.
That took away a lot of stress. But I don't know, I felt a little cocky doing that decision, but I realized like, you know, I felt like it was a good decision and I'd worry about, you know, if I didn't get in later, but I just trusted God in that and it worked out perfectly. So.
Well, I think, you know, what I've seen is that at Tech, you know, if you have the GPA, you have the grades, you have the experience, early action actually works great. Some of the other schools, it doesn't work as well. But they really do want to determine, are you serious about mm-hmm. us? Like, we're your one place. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about the major that you're going to be taking and why you selected. I know we talked a little bit off camera beforehand. But talk to me a little bit about that major.
Yes, sir. So doing industrial engineering there, and I know obviously when you go to Georgia Tech, most people think engineering. Mm-hmm. And I think at Georgia Tech, it's the number one program in the nation, something like that. And that first off definitely was interested me because I knew the teachers there and they're very good. But also I think my dad's an electrical engineer, so mm-hmm. I've always been in that kind of engineering background, I guess. But seeing like learning about industrial engineering and seeing just the kind of interactions they had and more business kind of aspects. I don't know, that made me really interested because sometimes when you think of engineering, you think of like doing circuits and you're sitting down, mm-hmm. maybe like in a lab for chemical engineering. But with industrial, it felt like I could really interact with people and just talk to people, which I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we're doing now. So
yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
There's so much with the industrial too that involves a lot more design. It can be, depending on which branch you're in, it can be a pretty artistic pursuit. But what I also love about industrial is that it's also very business minded, where you're not just locked away in a lab doing something. You're very much kind of on the business model side as well, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Are you planning on going on after Tech? Is that the plan, or are you thinking that far ahead?
Honestly, not thinking that far ahead, but as of now, I mean, I think definitely I plan on that and we'll see how much I enjoy. I definitely have some backup plans for that. But I mean, I'm just trying to take it, you know, this year and then see from then on.
Well, walk me through the backup plans. What you thinking?
I hopefully did not think you're gonna ask that, but, but honestly, I also applied in business, which I guess so.
Okay.
I could also do business there at Georgia Tech if industrial engineering, you know, just is not for me. But besides that, yeah, either business and something else there. Definitely at Tech though.
You'll find though that you will end up landing in a career later on where you'll see the blending of those mm-hmm. two worlds. Like you absolutely will. You know, I've got so many friends who've done an engineering undergrad and then have gone and done an MBA afterwards. And there's such correlation between the two, particularly choosing industrial. I think it's really, really and truly just a great path. All right, let's talk a little bit about your time here. And so just in brief, man, listen, you've been killing it. So it's been awesome. You've been in HCA since kindergarten, other than eighth grade, COVID year.
Yes, sir.
You stepped out and did some homeschooling, right? And then jumped right back in for high school?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are the salutatorian of our class, and you've been named an AP Scholar with distinction. And receiving the Georgia Certificate of Merit. You've been involved in National Honor Society, Mu Alpha Theta, National Spanish Honor Society. Loved you getting the recognition, by the way, the other night for the National Hispanic Recognition Award. And you were named the Junior Marshal at HCA last year. You're wearing some Hebron gear today, which I really like, but you've been involved in cross country, hence the shirt, track and field, soccer, student life, outreach activities. And you've been super, super involved here at the school. What keeps you involved? What do you like doing? Do you have a favorite?
Favorite, like all those activities?
Yeah, I guess. Out of everything?
I mean, I guess it kind of coincides with what I'm wearing right now. But I mean, I didn't plan it out. But definitely just running in general here at Hebron. Good. And that environment, like the coaches and just the people I met on the team here at Hebron, have definitely, like, I feel like is a good representation of a Christian, like, environment and of what I could see Hebron as. So
that's awesome.
I love that, definitely.
Is that going to be something you will do at Tech as well?
We're definitely looking into it. They have some club running that I'm going to do. Maybe walking on later, we'll see, because it's pretty competitive over there. But
right. Well, in your freshman year at Tech, you better just do Tech.
That too, yeah. My parents are like, you got to stay on studying, because
that's right.
It's going to be tough, but I mean, I'm not worried about it. Yeah. But
it's good, though. Georgia is such a great state where, first of all, we're so fortunate to have a number of schools, like Tech would be at the tip top of that, I think. But we're lucky to have such schools that are so regarded on a global level. I know that when Peterson's Guide comes out each and every year with the best educational purchase for the money, Georgia Tech is almost always number one. They're always in the top three. I mean, they beat all kinds of other technical schools, other engineering schools. And so you're really going to just the cream of the crop, you know, as you're stepping into it.
Yes, sir.
Which is pretty exciting. Hey, if we were thinking about the life-shaping events in your time here at HCA, are there any events that stand out for you as far as events that really help shape you as a young man or as a young leader?
So I was thinking about it. I was listening to you talk to Katie Beth about that. And honestly, I think there's a lot of different events, just chapel, spiritual emphasis week here at Hebron. But I think maybe this last year, if you want to give it that time frame, I really enjoyed senior retreat and just going to that. Because I think going into it, I kind of just thought it was another thing. And obviously, I was looking forward to it, all the events we would do, and, you know, just time to read our Bibles and hear from different people. But I think once I was actually there, just being able to have quiet time, like in the morning, I think we had like a sunrise, like worship time, which for me, like I really haven't done anything like that before. And just being able to be in the morning and like kind of on the mountains, just seeing everything and just hearing kind of God, I feel like that really changed it for me. Cause I obviously had a relationship with him before, but I just think I realized like being quiet time with God, sort of, it just reminded me how important that is. And I feel like since then, I spent more time just alone, not like in church, not in like chapel or with other people, but just alone, like reading the word and just spending time with him, which I think has definitely helped a lot. So I loved senior retreat.
I love the senior retreat, just how intentional all of the leaders who put that thing together. First of all, it's in an absolutely gorgeous place at the tip top of some mountains. But yeah, they're just so intentional with making sure that students really have that opportunity. It's kind of perfect timing for you to be in that spot as you're heading off to college. You're not going to have mom and dad around you kind of checking you all the time. This is something where you're going to have to really make those decisions. So I love the fact that there are spiritual events that really shaped you. How about you've been involved in a lot of athletics. Have there been any particular moments in athletics that have really stood out for you?
I guess definitely. So my junior year was, I ran cross country 11th grade, and then my senior year. And I think like just this, not this last year, the year before that, we went to first state for cross country. And then we got third in 3A, which I mean, 3A was pretty competitive that year.
3A is very competitive.
Yeah. And I know we're private now, I think, but so last year was really competitive, and I know doing so good with my teammates obviously was a really cool moment for me, but I think more so like that's, like sports wise, that's definitely one of event that will like stick with me. Cause I think just that whole weekend, I've never felt like more part of kind of a team before. Mm. And it just felt like I wasn't really running with like teammates, but more like, you know, my family. And
that's awesome.
We did really good that day. But on top of that, I felt like I really had bonded with people who were like going to be my friends for a long time. And it felt like we weren't just like doing a sport, but it felt like we all kind of were together, which I think I've had many times at Hebron, but in that moment, I would definitely say it was like the best moment of just after and before we ran and after we ran, like just on the bus ride back home. It just felt like I was at peace kind of, and just having a lot of fun. And I felt like I had purpose kind of in that. So it was, I mean, I love that from sports wise. It's awesome for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You can experience that in a lot of different areas. Mm-hmm. But athletics is just one of those areas where it just puts it right on the surface, you know? All right. So if you were looking back to freshmen, sophomore, juniors, if you were going to be giving advice to those younger students. So let me just point this out to our audience. If you are the valedictorian or salutatorian, you have just about a perfect GPA. It means you're taking hard classes, all of which you've been an A-level student in. You are competing against some remarkably competitive students. And so for you to land at that level, let's kind of break this down in a few different areas. Let's break it down first in academic advice. What would be some academic advice that you'd give, Marco, to younger students who are coming after you?
I would definitely say like just time management, because I think you want to have a balance and you don't want to always be, you know, like studying your life away, I guess is the way to put it, kind of drastic, but and just always spending that time, because obviously, especially at the Christian school, there's more important things in life. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely say just manage your time early. Because I feel like as a ninth grader, learning just to be able to, when I need to do homework, when I need to have fun with my friends, when I need to, you know, read my Bible, when I need to do different things that are healthy, I think having that time basis and learning how to manage time early helped me later, because I feel like when you're junior and senior, you're taking more difficult AP classes and just like, you know, a lot of sports, you're maybe a team captain, more relied on. It's a lot of stuff to do. And then obviously at the same time going to church, and like, I feel like it can get overwhelming, but if you set that basis early, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think especially this last year, I learned like the times I decided to, you know, time manage and do things right, I was not stressed out at all. And then the times I thought, oh, I'll push this project to the day before, two days before, that's when I was stressed out. So I think just learning, do things that are, you know, your homework earlier, do it whenever you don't want to do it. Cause then later, whenever, you know, you have other stuff to do, you're really going to miss out. So just manage your time well and learn how to do
those habits. Habits are crucial. All right, so we talk about academic. How about on a personal or social level? Do you have any advice on a kind of a personal or social level?
I would definitely say like for specifically for Hebron, but maybe just all high school, just enjoy the moments you have with your friends and just your classmates. I think Hebron, it's definitely a smaller school, so you get to enjoy that. And I've only really been here my whole life. But I will say like when I was homeschooled that one year, not having that kind of interaction with all my classmates, I thought I wouldn't care about. But just in general, I think I really missed out on that. And I realized like you should really value who you have around you. I mean, no one's perfect and you're going to have hard moments in high school. Cause I mean, it's high school. It's a bunch of teenagers.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, but I would say just enjoy every moment and just spend time with the people around you because like, you know, no one's perfect and like things are going to happen, but really just enjoy those good moments. Cause you can't ever really redo high school. Like,
Right.
You're going to have college and it's going to be awesome experience. I mean, I hope we'll find out, but you have a lot of other awesome experiences later in life. But I think high school is like that one time you can be together with people. Mm-hmm. And so just enjoy that and, you know, go out and do stuff that like go to football games, go doing different social things in your friends, while, you know, managing time, but just learn to enjoy the time you have, because it's important. It goes by really quick.
Do you feel like you appreciated that more because of your eighth grade COVID year when you were at home?
I would. That's what I could immediately say, because I was thinking about going into ninth grade. That was when I first started running. I met a lot of new people, mm-hmm. and like, there's a lot of stuff I decided to do just because I realized, like, I feel like I'm a pretty social person. Sometimes more introverted, but it depends. But I realized, like, I really missed out being with all my friends, just being with not even like people I really knew well, but meeting new people, mm-hmm. that I think I definitely learned how valuable that is. And I'm glad I did then, because I feel like I don't have a lot of regrets with that. And right. I think it will continue to be like that, because it's important to always meet people, be friendly, make people feel like they're, you know, belong. Mm-hmm. So just in general, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who never learned that lesson, mm-hmm. and those COVID years shaped them in a negative way. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that year it shaped you in a positive way, only because yes, sir. You recognized what you didn't have, mm-hmm. you know? How about any spiritual advice for people?
I would definitely say, first off, like talking about that social thing, find friends who you know value what you value, I guess.
Great advice.
I think Hebron, you would think it's way easier to do, and you know, everyone must have a really Christ-centered relationship, which I think there's definitely a lot of people who mm-hmm. care.
Yeah.
But I think it's very easy to be able to stay on that right path, obviously, by prioritizing who you're hanging around.
Right.
Because I see myself sometimes too, depending on who I'm around, like how I'm being influenced, sort That's of. Right. And I think on top of that, like, you can also reach out to people who maybe aren't on that same path as you to help them. But I think always to stay aware of what you value and what you're prioritizing in your life mm-hmm. spiritually. Because for me, I think I've always had a pretty genuine relationship with Christ, but throughout the years, various different topics, like, I've seen myself maybe looking more to that and putting my value in that without mm-hmm. even realizing it. And so I would just say, be very self-aware. And through being self-aware, I mean, I think what helps is reading your Bible, talking mm-hmm. to God more than you think, because it's hard to be able to use your own strength and judgment to, mm-hmm. you know, make the right decisions and, you know, be with the right friends. But it's much easier when you have, I mean, the God who created the universe telling you and helping you with your life. So mm-hmm. read your word, you know, read the word, talk to God, and just be self-aware how you're being influenced and how you're influencing other people. Because I think that's also really important, how you're impacting others. Because we're not just here to, you know, have fun and live life, which is good, but mm-hmm. we're here to also have impact on people, even from a young age. I think you always can have influence.
Great advice. Great advice, Marco. How about some people who have... Are there particular people who have really impacted your life? That might be here in this Hebron setting. It may be family. It may be. Are there particular people who have invested in your life who've really impacted you, and why?
So I would say first, like outside of Hebron, definitely my parents. They've always been really supportive, and they always have made me feel like, you know, I'm important. And I know my mom has definitely pushed me to, you know, make sure I'm studying and doing my work and staying, you know, on task. But she's also made me feel like, you know, my value is beyond that. And mm-hmm. it's not just, you know, grades. It's not just sports or school or anything like that. But both my parents have made me feel very valued, mm-hmm. and both my value in Christ and my value just as a human being in general. And also I'd say my sister's definitely been there for me. I mean, she's only 2.5 years older than me, mm-hmm. but I feel like she's gained a lot of more of that, you know, more mature side.
She was
really
very
young.
Mature. She just was.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I think she's been almost like a figure for me that has really shaped just how I think about stuff. And she always like is supportive of me. And I just feel like that maturity for her mm-hmm. has just helped me learn different, you know, how to live life, I guess. And then also from Hebron, I would say most of the teachers I've always had have always helped me educate, like educationally, but also helped me feel like I was valued and, you know, what's important in life. Cause I feel like they always have a Christ centered relationship, and they always go at things like with the Christ-centered focus. But I would say also, like, the person I was thinking about when I was, you know, listening to you talk to, like, Katie Beth and everything, I was thinking Mr. Robertson, which I guess he's technically not a teacher. Mm-hmm. I know he's taught before, I believe, but I think throughout the years, as one individual I've known for, I guess, a while from Hebron, from, mm-hmm. you know, always helping with planning and scheduling, but especially these last couple of years, just his ability to be able to always get everything done, and he has so many schedules to work with and college, you know, people to help, meetings for college. And I just think like he's able to do all of that and still have a very positive mindset. Cause I think for me, if I had all that stuff to do and kids were emailing me all the time, I would be so stressed out.
Right.
But I've never seen that from him. And I've always seen him just smiling. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can tell that Christ is really important for his life. And so I feel like I want to, you know, strive to be like that, a person who is able to help everyone and get their, you know, work done and work hard, but at the same time, really be able to be a positive figure at all times. Cause I don't think I've ever seen him, you know, mad or angry.
Never. And, I mean, remarkable.
Yes, sir.
Both he and his wife, they're two of just the best examples you could ever look to, for authentic faith and like really living life with grace. Like they just are, they're just, Mr. Robertson is just amazing. His wife was just as amazing when she was working here as well. And yeah, that's a great one to pick. That's a great one to pick. Anyone else that comes to mind here?
I think kind of with Katie Beth, I was thinking like, I don't want to name too many people because I feel bad, but I think also at the top of my head, I was thinking this last year for AP Literature, Mr. Klumpner.
Yeah.
I think he's always been a very, same thing as Mr. Robertson, very Christ-centered, you know, person. But also I think he's made school more enjoyable because I feel like he's always able to listen to us. And for me, I think just with all the, you know, all the stress of other classes coming into that class, he's always able to be calming and he's a funny guy. And I just enjoyed having him as like an influence. And also I was thinking Miss Sutton too, which I know this is her last year at Hebron, but I had her 9th and 10th grade. And I think she's definitely a very like comical person. So you never really see her serious, but I think at the same time, she also has been a good influence on me because she's made school more enjoyable in math. Obviously, if I'm going to Georgia Tech, I mean, math has been a priority, but sometimes it's been, you know, it can be a little bit, you know, get bogged down in all the numbers and everything about it. But she's always made it really enjoyable. And also, she's always, same with Mr. Robertson, always been so positive. And I think what she's done at Hebron and being here for so long, she's always very positive, I know, with just all the different cool things she has in her classroom. I think that really helped me remind me of just, you know, school can be hard sometimes, but you know, God gave us the ability to be able to learn here. And that's a blessing. And I think she reminded me of that, of how, you know, like it's hard sometimes studying. It's hard sometimes waking up every morning, but like we're here and we're blessed to be in this environment. And with like the Village of Hope that she helps with, I'm like, I realize that there are people who aren't given this opportunities that I have here. And so it's just a constant reminder of how blessed I am. So I'm really appreciative of her for that.
You have picked three absolute superheroes, like really and truly. You're a senior in high school, you're picking them as people worthy of emulating. A leader for a while in my mid-50s. I would pick all three of those guys. Like, seriously, I'd pick all three of them. They're just leaders who I want to emulate, who I want to be more like, to tell you the truth. Yes, and so you've picked some awesome examples. When you look at next year heading off to Tech, are there certain things that you are nervous about or fearful about? Anything that you're worried about yet?
I would definitely say there's a couple of stuff I would maybe a little bit nervous about. And then I know, like, you know, God will provide these things. And it's going to be okay. But I think nervous, definitely just not even just moving out in independence, but just obviously like, you know, being not away from my family, not very far. I mean, probably a 40-minute drive, but just being without, you know, my mom every day to wake me up, my, you know, my dad always there supporting. I think I'm a little nervous about that, but more so I think a little nervous just about that next chapter of my life because I know being away from just a wonderful environment I've been in now, I think I've definitely developed a solid foundation in Christ, but I'm also still a little bit nervous just about who I'm going to meet and how am I going to be, you know, needed in God's kingdom. And that's just a little nerve-wracking for me just because I'm like trying to understand, you know, what's going to happen in this couple of years. And it's just such a big step. There's a little bit of nervous behind that, but I would say there's definitely a lot more excitement because I'm excited just to kind of turn a new page. And I guess that in my book, I guess, because I mean, I've loved my time at Hebron, being here for 12 years, I think, but I think I'm definitely excited to see what's going to happen in my next, you know, 4 years, I guess, of life and just who I'm going to meet and who I can influence and who's going to influence me and just what I can do with those next 4 years. So I would say I'm really excited. Just kind of dawning on me how I'm, you know, graduating in a couple of days, but I think besides just, you know, missing a couple, you know, just missing teachers and people here and just being at Hebron, I think I'm really excited for what's going to happen next in my life.
It's great. So. It's always wild for me to see chatting with people you're, you know, at your stage in life. the same things that they're afraid of are the same things they're excited about. And that's such a great lesson in life, right? That that sometimes we're fearful about that next step, and yet that next step is exactly where we need to go, right? Marco, listen, you're a talented young man. I'm excited to see where you're going to go in the next 4 or 5 years. I'm excited where you're going to be in 15 years. And just to see, you know, I'll be following your career and to see all that God is going to do in your life. And so, hey, thank you so much for jumping on the show today. And good luck with this next step in life.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Joy of Leadership podcast. Living in the center of God's will is a rare blessing in today's day and age. Help us share this vital story of passionate leadership. If you would like to comment on the show, or if you know someone who would be a perfect guest, contact us at thejoyofleadership@gmail.com. If you like the show and don't want to miss a single episode, make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.